You mentioned women and suffragettes striving to get the right to vote and play a bigger part in society.
Yeah.
The series itself really is, when you come down to it, a series about women and the change of treatment of women. Women's fights for their rights was going on at the time. Everything changed for them.
It was a big time. I mean, the suffragettes, I think what's really interesting is that the suffragettes were fighting for a very specific thing, which was the vote. They got part suffrage in 1919 in that women over the age of 30 who were household owners could vote. And the reason they only got part suffrage was because there were many, many more women than men in the country after the First World War. And it was believed that if they gave women, all women, the right to vote, then women would be deciding who ran the country. And obviously, you know, they couldn't have that.
Heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid, exactly. So, but I think what happened that was very interesting, and I really like the character of Edith particularly for illustrating this, is that women suddenly realised that they were not going to live their lives the way that their mothers and their grandmothers and their great-grandmothers had. And sometimes this was good and sometimes it was very uncomfortable. But after the First World War, they had what they called the issue of the surplus women, because they realised that there were 2 million more women than men. And then on top of that, you had about 1.7 million men who came back from the war injured in some way and probably incapable of working or fathering or marrying. And so these surplus women, they would discuss them in the newspapers as this real problem and suggestions that they should be shipped to the colonies to find husbands over there and things.
Oh, my word.
I know. And obviously, there were quite a few women who rather took umbrage at the idea that they were surplus to requirement just because they couldn't get married.
I would think so.
Yeah. But they went out, you know, they went out and worked. And I think they found it, some of them found it actually quite liberating, because marriage gave you independence from your parents, but then only to go from one house to run another sort of thing. And suddenly they had the option of working. And if they became career women, it wasn't because they had failed to get a man, because it was impossible. It was statistically impossible to get a man. So you had to do something else. But it was still very hard for them. Men came back broken by the war, having had unbelievably terrible, terrible experiences that they were unable to share with anybody at home. And all these women were looking really robust and saying, "We kept the country going while you were away, you know, don't worry." And they found it quite intimidating, I think. They thought women were going to sort of take over the world. So there was a big propaganda move to stop women from taking jobs, saying that it was unpatriotic of them to work because they were taking jobs from the boys. But these women had no other means to feed themselves and clothe themselves and house themselves, you know, so they went to work. They were paid very badly because they were seen not to have dependents. But they did it anyway. And a lot of them did, you know, were really pioneers and flew planes and ran companies and got degrees and became doctors and lawyers and, you know, and it was difficult, but they did it. And so they were really our early feminists. So it's that generation, I think, that we have to thank for getting us on the road to the kind of equality that, you know, that women enjoy now. It's arguable that without the war, it could have taken another 20 or 30 years to get along the way.